Track 10. Mary has increasing concerns about Judas, and she witnesses hostility to Jesus from two of his cousins.
Travelling in Galilee, Jesus, Mary and the apostles come across a group of young boy shepherds. Maria Valtorta writes, Mary smiles in such a way that one of them touches another with his elbow and whispers, It must be her. And he comes forward sure of himself, saying, Hail Mary, full of grace, is the Lord with you? Mary replies with an even sweeter smile, There is the Lord, and she points to Jesus, who has turned around to speak to his cousins, asking them to give alms to the poor who are approaching them with plaintive requests. Mary touches her son lightly, saying to him, Son, these little shepherds are looking for you, and they have recognized me, I don't know how. And Jesus says, Peace to you, boy. How did you recognize Mary? Because only the mother of the Saviour could have such a smile and face. We were looking for you, Lord, and I didn't dare to greet you first. The shepherds look at Jesus as if he were already God in his glory. Mary bends to caress some lambs, which are rubbing their heads against her knees and bleating. She says, I would not like any little lamb to be killed. They are so innocent, and with their childlike voices they seem to be calling their mothers. I would think I was killing a baby if I had to kill one of these. But woman, if all the lambs were to live, there would be no room for us on the earth. Says the oldest shepherd. I know, says Mary, but I am thinking of their pain and of the pain of their mothers. They weep so much when their little ones are taken away from them. We mothers are always united to our sons, and it tears us up completely when they are taken away from us. Mary no longer smiles, but tears shine in her blue eyes. She looks at Jesus, who is listening to her, and looks at her, while she lays a hand on his arm as if she were afraid he might be torn away from her side. Jesus and Judas Iscariot are having an earnest discussion about duty to parents. Jesus calls his mother over and says, Judas wants to persuade me to be more prudent, so that I may not have to suffer like our relative the Baptist. And he is telling me that sons must have mercy on their mothers by sparing themselves on their behalf, because that is what the fourth commandment prescribes. What do you say? You may speak, mother, so that you may kindly instruct our Judas. And Mary says, I say that I would no longer love my son as God. I would begin to doubt whether I have always been mistaken and whether I have always been deceived concerning his nature if I saw him fail in his perfection by lowering his thought to human consideration, losing sight of superhuman considerations, that is, the redemption, the effort to redeem men for their own sake and for the glory of God, at the cost of procuring for himself affliction and hatred. I would still love him as a son, led astray by a wicked power. I would love him out of pity because he is my son and because he would be a poor wretch. But I could not love him with the fullness of love with which I love him now. He is the Messiah of the Lord, and he must be loyal to the Lord like anybody else, more than anybody else. because his mission is greater than any other that was, is, or ever will be on the earth. And he certainly has suitable assistance from God for such a mission. And Judas says, "But if anything wrong happened to him, would you not weep?" And Mary says, "I would shed all my tears, but I would weep tears of blood if I saw him faithless to God." At another time, Mary's sister-in-law, Mary of Alphaeus, known as Mary of Clopas in the Gospels, is distressed at the suggestion that her son, Judas Thaddeus, would be martyred. Our Lady, who is deadly pale, says to her, "And can I ask that on your behalf, when I do not ask salvation from death for my own son? Mary, say with me, 'Your will be done, Father, in heaven, on the earth, and in the hearts of mothers.' To do the will of God through the destiny of our sons is the redeeming martyrdom of us mothers. In any case, no one said that Judas is to be killed or killed before you die. How burdensome your present prayer that he may live to the longest age would be for you, when in the kingdom of truth and love you will see everything in the light of God. I am sure that you then, both as a blessed soul and as a mother, would like to see your Judas to be like my Jesus in his destiny of Redeemer, and you would long to have him soon with you again forever, because it is a mother's torture to be separated from her children." The crying of Judas Thaddeus's mother, so loud in the silence of early dawn, has caused everybody to come back to learn what has happened. They hear the words of the Blessed Virgin, and everybody is moved. A short time later, Mary speaks to Jesus of her concern for Judas Iscariot. "I feel sorry for him, just as I would feel sorry if I saw a very infected person." "Are you no longer afraid of him?" asks Jesus. "You were once." "Son, my pity is even greater than my fear, and I would like to help you and him to save his soul. You can do everything, and you do not need me, but you say that everybody must cooperate with Christ in redeeming, and that son needs so badly to be redeemed. What else can I do for him in addition to what I already do?" asks Jesus. "You cannot do any more," says Mary, "but you could let me. He asked me to let him stay in our house because he thinks that he will be able to get rid of his monster there." "You're shaking your head? You do not want this?" "I will tell him." "No, Mother, it is not that I do not want. I am shaking my head because I know that it is useless. Judas is like one who is drowning, and although he realizes that he is drowning, he rejects out of pride the rope that has been thrown to him to draw him to the shore. He has no will to come to the shore. Now and again he is in terror of drowning. He seeks and invokes help, and he clings to the rope. Then, seized once again by pride, he refuses help, rejects it, as he wants to be independent. And he becomes heavier and heavier because of the muddy water that swallows him down. But as I wish to leave no stone unturned, let what you wish be done as well, poor mother." Then Mary says, "Oh, I wish I could give Judas back to you, spiritually cured. To give you a soul is to give you a treasure. You said once, 'The day will come when you will say, how difficult it is to be the mother of the Redeemer.' I have already said it once, for for Aglaé. But what is once only? Mankind is so numerous, and you are the Redeemer of all men. Mother, he does not deserve you. Jesus, when you hesitated to give Margiam to Peter, I told you that it would be beneficial to him. You cannot deny that Peter has become a new man since that moment. Let me try with Judas. Let it be done as you wish, says Jesus, and may you be blessed for your loving intention towards me and Judas. Now let us pray together, Mother. Shortly afterwards, and in the presence of Jesus, Peter and Judas, Mary is asked by one of the women disciples why she feels great concern for a certain loveless baby who isn't hers, and she replies kindly, "Because I say he might have been my son. As a mother, I would like all children to be good, healthy, loved and loving, because every mother wishes that for her own children." And Jesus seems to envelop her in light so radiantly he looks at her. "That is why you pity me," says the Iscariot in a low voice. "I pity everybody," says Mary. "Even if one were the murderer of my son, I think that he would be the most in need of help and love, because the whole world would certainly hate him." "Donna," says Peter, "you would have to work hard defending him to give him time to repent. I would get rid of him immediately." And Jesus says, "This is where we have to part. Mother, God be with you, and with you too, Judas." They kiss one another, and Jesus adds, "Remember that I have granted you a great thing, Judas. Make it beneficial and not detrimental to you." Later still at Nazareth, after criticizing some of Jesus' actions to his fellow apostles, Judas goes to speak to Mary. He enters the house serenely and goes up to the terrace where Mary, with her hands on her lap, is contemplating the sky crowded with stars. In the light of the little lamp that Judas has lit to climb the stairs, tears can be seen shining on Mary's cheeks. "Why are you weeping, Mother?" asks Judas anxiously. "Because I think that there are more snares in the world than stars in the sky, snares for my Jesus." Judas looks at her attentively, and he seems upset. And Mary concludes kindly, "But I am comforted by the love of his disciples. Love my Jesus, love him." "Do you wish to stay here, Judas? I am going down to my room." "Yes, I will remain up here. It is lovely." "Peace be with you, Judas." "Peace be with you, Mary." Jesus is speaking in a challenging way to a mixed crowd of people at Chorazin. He says there are those who, although converted by John the Baptist, want to return to sin. Maria Valtorta writes, "A whispering which is neither of approval nor of protest runs through the crowd, which has become very large, because everybody wants to listen to the dispute between Jesus and his enemies. The whispering, like a wave, reaches the apostles who are closer to Jesus. Peter, John, the zealot, and Jesus' two apostle cousins notice the whispering and say to Jesus, 'Master, your mother is here with your brothers,' meaning Jesus' other cousins, Simon and Joseph. 'They are out there in the street and they are looking for you because they want to speak to you.' Jesus raises his head, and at the end of the crowd he sees the anguished face of his mother who tries not to weep, while Joseph of Alphaeus, Jesus' cousin, is speaking to her excitedly. And he sees her repeated emphatic gestures of denial, notwithstanding Joseph's insistency. He sees also the embarrassed face of Simon, the other cousin, who was openly grieved and disgusted. But Jesus does not smile, neither does he give any order. He leaves the sorrowful one in her grief and his cousins where they are. He then lowers his head, looks at the crowd, and replies to the apostles near him, and also to those who are far away. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? He looks around with severe countenance and says, This is my mother, and these are my brothers. Those who do the will of God are my brothers and sisters, and they are my mother. I have nobody else. And my relatives will be such, if they are the first to do the will of God with greater perfection than anybody else, to the extent of completely sacrificing every other will or the call of blood or of affection. The crowds whisper in louder voices, like a sea made rough by sudden gusts of wind. The scribes begin to withdraw, saying, He is a demon. He repudiates his own blood. His cousin relatives come forward saying, He is crazy. He tortures his very mother. The apostles say, His word is really full of heroism. And the crowds comment, How much he loves us. Mary, Joseph, and Simon elbow their way through the crowd with difficulty. While Mary is thoroughly kind, Joseph is very angry, and Simon is utterly embarrassed. They arrive near Jesus. Joseph attacks Jesus at once. You are crazy. You are offending everybody. You do not respect even your mother. But I am here now, and I will stop you. Why do you not work in your own shop and thus provide for your mother? Why do you lie in saying that your task is to preach, you idle and ungrateful man, when you work for money with other people? I think that you are really possessed by a demon misleading you. Reply to me. Jesus turns around and takes little Joseph, the young boy whom he has befriended, by the hand. He draws him close to himself, and holding him up by his armpits, he says, I worked to provide food for this innocent child and his relatives. It was a sermon on humility and charity for